We've been studying through the book of 1 Timothy and the book of Joshua in the Old Testament. We've come to Joshua chapter number 20. Chapter number 20. Can the folks in the balcony hear me okay? Can you hear me back there, up there, folks? Give me a wave, all that kind of stuff. Outstanding. Very good. Very good. Wonderful. Joshua chapter 20, and we'll read verses 1 to however far I want to read here. All right? 1 to whatever. Joshua chapter 20. The Lord also spake unto Joshua, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, saying, Appoint out for you cities of refuge, whereof I spake unto you by the hand of Moses, that the slayer that killeth any person unawares and unwittingly may flee thither, and they shall be your refuge from the avenger of blood. And when he that doth flee unto one of those cities shall stand at the entering of the gate of the city, and shall declare his cause in the ears of the elders of that city, they shall take him into the city unto them, and give him a place that he may dwell among them. And if the avenger of blood pursue after him, they shall not deliver the slayer up into his hand, because he smote his neighbor unwittingly and hated him not before time. And he shall dwell in that city until he stand before the congregation for judgment, and until the death of the high priest that shall be in those days. Then shall the slayer return and come unto his own city, and unto his own house, unto the city from whence he fled. If you're in the habit of marking your Bible, I want you to mark three words in verse number 2. It's the three words, cities of refuge. Cities of refuge. You know, it's a wonderful thing when you preach through a book of the Bible that you just hit things as you get to them. And we've come to chapter 20. We finished chapter 19 last week. Now we're in chapter 20. And what a beautiful, beautiful picture we have portrayed for us in the cities of refuge today. I want to preach to you on that subject, the cities of refuge. Our Father, we love you today. We thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for this great crowd that's come out to be here in your house. And I pray, Lord, that you make it worth their time. May you speak to them. Thank you for the Sunday school hour and my own class and how you met with us there. Father, I pray that you take it and use it in a mighty way. I pray for this preaching hour that you'll touch it and bless it in a mighty way as well. Somebody here that has not run to the city of refuge, may today be the glorious day when they say yes to you, we pray. May you defeat Satan and his evil spirits and preach this message through me. In Jesus' name, amen. The message today is twofold. If you're not in the city of refuge, you can go to it today. If you are in the city of refuge, you ought to rejoice in what you're about to hear and try to get others in it with you. As we come to chapter 20, we see Israel has defeated and possessed the land of Canaan. The different tribes have received their inheritance. However, there is still more work to be done. In this chapter, we see them carrying out a command first given to them by Moses that was given by God in Numbers chapter 35. They were to appoint 6 cities of refuge that were to be available to those who had killed someone by accident. They could run to any of these 6 cities and find safety and find help. Now, back in this day when an individual was killed, the nearest kinsman of the person who was killed had the right to avenge the death of their relative in Numbers chapter 35, verses 19 to 21. In other words, they were under. In other words, here's what I'm saying. Those who killed somebody, even if it was unawares, even if it was unwittingly, it was an accident, those people were under a death sentence. It was only a matter of time before they would meet their judgment. Now, with this in mind, the Lord commanded 6 cities of refuge to be appointed as a means of safety. And let me say this to you by means of introduction. In the same way, we have all sinned and now sit on death row. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. And what we learn here is that we have all sinned, every one of us. And because we've sinned, we are sitting spiritually on death row. We must die physically, and we deserve to die spiritually in the lake of fire. We're on a head-on collision course with death, physical and spiritual. But there is a place of refuge to run to today. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our city of refuge. Now let's look at these cities of refuge and see several things about them, which give us a clear picture of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Now, you have to be careful with typology in Scripture. In other words, some people get in trouble when they try to make something type, a type of something else that it has nothing to do with. But in our text, it is so clear today that the cities of refuge are a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there are three things I want you to notice with me about these cities of refuge. Psalm 62, verses 7 and 8 says, "In God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in Him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us." Psalm 91, 2, "I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust." Proverbs 14, 26, "In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and His children shall have a place of refuge." Now, there's three things about these cities of refuge I want you to notice with me quickly. Number one, now you realize when I say quickly, I'm lying to you, right? Just though you know that, let's just make it clear. Number one, these cities of refuge, get it, were appointed by God. They were appointed by God. Excuse me, I've got four things to share with you. Number one, they were appointed by God. Look at verses 1 and 2 of our text in Joshua chapter number 20. Joshua chapter 20, verses 1 and 2, "The Lord also spake unto Joshua, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, saying, Appoint out for you cities of refuge, whereof I spake unto you by the hand of Moses." Now, it's important for us to see that these cities of refuge was not man's idea. These cities of refuge was not the Israelites' idea. These cities of refuge were God's idea. They were appointed by God. And just as He appointed these cities, He also has appointed man's salvation to be by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. There are so many people today who say, "Well, I believe it takes this to go to heaven. Well, I think it's going to take this to go to heaven." Folks, let me be kind to you. It doesn't matter what you think. It only matters what God has already said. And in His text, we see just like the cities of refuge were appointed by God, the person of Jesus Christ, His death, His burial, His resurrection, that is God's plan for our salvation. Now, in this, we see a couple of things about our God, in this that they were appointed by God. Number one, under this, we notice His knowledge. Now, what does that mean? Notice that the Lord had these cities of refuge appointed before the offense was ever made. Now, let me say it again. The Lord had these cities appointed before the offense was ever made. They were available. Get this. This blesses my heart. These cities were available before they were ever needed. That's a blessing right there. And in the same way today, folks, we're just showing you how these cities of refuge are a type of Christ. In the same way, in the mind of God, our spiritual need was met before the foundation of the earth. The Bible says in Revelation 13, 8, the Lamb, talking about Jesus, was slain from the foundation of the world. 1 John 3, 20, God is greater than our hearts and knoweth all things. Here's what I'm trying to tell you. God knew in His foreknowledge that they would need the cities of refuge. Now that's a comfort to me to realize that God knows what I need before I need it. Amen. We see His knowledge in that He had them appointed before they even needed them. Number two, we see His grace. Now, we're showing you that these cities were appointed by God. It was God's idea, and because of that, He had foreknowledge. He knew what they needed before they needed it, and He had grace on them because, listen to this, God could have allowed the manslayer to die like anybody else. Now, He could have. Who had taken the life of another, He could have allowed them to be under a death sentence and it be fulfilled and not give them a place to rest. He had every right to do that. But instead of allowing that to happen, He graciously provided a city of refuge. Now, folks, in the same way, God could have allowed every one of us and every sinner from all of history, including now and ever will be, He could have allowed every one of us to die in our sin and to go to hell. Now, He could do that. And by the way, He'd be just for doing that. But, I mean, after all, we are guilty. He didn't break our law. We've broken His law.
We have broken the law of God. We're guilty and condemned, and we deserve damnation for our sin. But he showed grace by sending his son Jesus Christ in our place and take our punishment. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave, that's grace. Grace is giving what is not deserved. And for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, and whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. No wonder the song goes, amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Number one, we've noticed about these cities of refuge in Joshua chapter 20 that are a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Number one, they were appointed by God. Number two, we see this, they were sufficient. We see this in verses 3 and 9. Look at it. That the slayer that killeth any person unawares and unwittingly may flee thither, and they shall be your refuge from the avenger of blood. Now look at verse number 9. The Bible says, these were the cities appointed for all the children of Israel, and for the stranger that sojourneth among them. Get it? For Israel and the stranger, that whosoever, boy, I like that word, killeth any person at unawares might flee thither, and not die by the hand of the avenger of blood until he stood before the congregation. Now, do you see what I just read? The cities of refuge were sufficient for everybody that ran to them. Now, stay with me here. It made no difference what their particular circumstance was. It made no difference what it was. The cities of refuge were sufficient. These cities were sufficient to shelter from the avenger and save from death. These cities allowed someone to live who would have otherwise died. Let me say it again. These cities allowed somebody to live who would have otherwise died. Now, in the same way, our sin has unleashed the law's condemnation, and the devil has been unleashed in our life, and they are on our track. They are on us. They want to see us condemned. They want to see us burning in hell. We've broken the law of God. But our Lord, listen to this, our Lord Jesus Christ is enough to shelter and save you from the alternative of death. The Bible says in Romans 10, 9 and 10 and verse 13, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. John 5:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Jesus Christ is sufficient for everyone's sin problem, regardless of who you are. It makes no difference what you've done, what you haven't done. It makes no difference if you think you're too bad or not too bad. Everybody's sin is sufficiently saved and covered and secure under the blood of Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Revelation 22:17, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Romans 10:12, for there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. God is bigger than your sin. He is sufficient for your need. And if you have never trusted Christ, one of the lies of the devil that people are swallowing today is, you don't understand what I've done. I've been so bad. You don't realize God can't save somebody like me. Look at my life. Look what I've done. And I'm telling you, the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin today. He is sufficient for you. These cities of refuge were appointed by God. Number two, they were sufficient. Number three, more like this, they were available. We see this in verses 7 and 8. Look at it. And they appointed Kedesh in Galilee and Mount Naphtali and Shechem in Mount Ephraim and Kirjath Arba, which is Hebron, in the Mount of Judah. And on the other side, Jordan by Jericho eastward.
They assigned Bezer in the wilderness upon the plain out of the tribe of Reuben, and Ramoth in Gilead out of the tribe of Gad, and Golan in Bashan out of the tribe of Manasseh. Now get it, there were three east of Jordan and three west of Jordan. There were six total cities, three east, three west. Here's the interesting thing that came out in my study. No matter where they were, anybody in the nation of Israel could have reached one of those cities within one day. Did you hear what I just said? In one day, they could have been in any one of those. I'm talking about those cities were strategically placed so that no matter where they lived, there was a city of refuge close enough to them that they could get there within a day. You think God knew what he was doing, folks? I think so. By the way, this is a beautiful picture. Most of these cities of refuge were built on a mountaintop to give it a place of prominence. And the interesting thing is a lot of them were made of white limestone. So when the sun was shining in the day, it would glisten on top of the hill. And when the moon would shine at night, it would glisten on top of the hill. Oh, I'm getting excited about this. What I'm saying to you is that if it was day or night, they could see the hill and they could see the city that was the place of refuge. And I want to give you some things here. They were available. I'm trying to tell you that no matter who it was, there was a city of refuge for them. Available. Let me give you a couple things under this. Let me share with you how they were available. Well, first of all, most of the time they were built on a mountaintop like that. Secondly, the roads were clear all the time. Listen to this. The priests would make sure that the roads were clear from any obstructions. And the roads were always open. Folks, this is exciting to me, folks. I mean, the roads were always open to these cities of refuge. They were never closed. And any obstructions, get it out of the way. Get that out of the way. Get it out of the way. It's got to be clean. It's got to be clear. The roads were always clear. Number three, the gates were always open. Interesting thing about the cities of refuge, day or night, you showed up, the gate was open. They never closed the gate. Somebody say amen right there, folks. Number three, the road was clearly marked. They say that there were apparent road signs and signposts with clear directions showing people how to get to the city of refuge. What a picture we have. What a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, honestly. In all these things, we see such a beautiful picture of our Lord and the glorious gospel. Listen to this verse, Galatians 3:1. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? Now, in the same way, just like the city was on the mountaintop, he can be seen, talking about Christ, he can be seen from all over the world. He really can. There's people today, listen to me, over in Africa that's never heard the gospel, but Jesus Christ can be seen in their heart. And what I'm saying to you, he's made himself available to the entire world. He's available. He's in a prominent place. He's been lifted up. He was crucified and lifted up. So the world can see who he is. Secondly, the road leading to him is always clear. On his side, there are no obstructions. When he died on the cross, he died for all sin. No sin is not a problem. So sin is not a problem that can keep you from coming. He's cleared the way for you. He has taken out all obstructions. He has, in other words, if you come to him, sin is wiped out of the way. The penalty of sin has been removed. The only things that can keep you from him is the things that you allow in your own path. Not the path to him. It's clear. It's secure. It's safe. He's cleared it. But so many times we allow the devil to drop something in our path. I'm not going to get saved because I have to give that up. Let me ask you a question. The Lord had to give up glory for a little while just to make it available to you. And somebody's not going to give some little tweedly thing, if tweedly is even a word,
to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ? It's ridiculous, isn't it? Ridiculous. And by the way, just like the gates were always open, right now, the door's open. It's open right now. How do I know that? Because I'm not gone. How do I know that? You're here. And if you're here today and do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, God's being gracious to you. He's saying, I'm not going to close the door yet. I'm going to give him another shot. And you better watch out, folks. Because when you go back to the days of Noah, there was an open door for a little while. But when God shut the door, that was it. It's over. How's he shut the door today? His rapture or your death. And you don't know when either one of those will take place. Just like the gates were always open, right now the gate is open. Will you go in? And just like the way was clearly marked, the way to Jesus Christ has been clearly marked through the pages of God's Scripture. No doubt about it. God has told us exactly how we can be saved and miss eternal damnation for all eternity. He's already done that. He's clearly marked it in His Word. If you'll admit you're a sinner, repent of your sin, and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can be free from condemnation. Romans 8:1, read it for yourself. He is available to you today. That's why He says in Matthew 11:28, come unto me. That's why in 2 Corinthians 6:2, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Remember, they could reach any one of those cities. There was a city close to them, so anybody, anywhere could reach it within a day. I see God's providence in that. And every day is the day of salvation for somebody. Will you make this the day for yours? Number one, these cities of refuge were appointed by God. Number two, they were sufficient. Number three, they were available. Number four, here it is, they were the only place of safety. They were the only place of safety. The Lord did not offer, get this, many ways. He offered one. The cities of refuge. That's it. You ever met somebody who says, well, I believe there's many roads to God. You take your way, I'll take my way. The only problem is there's only one way going to make it. Amen. And it's the way of the cross. Without these cities, many people would have died. And folks, let me say something to you. In the same way, salvation from sin and deliverance from condemnation is obtained only one way. John 14:6, Jesus saith himself, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, he said. You may not see it right now, but if you don't have the Lord, you need him. Because without him, there's no place of safety from the wrath of God. If you run to Jesus, there's no condemnation. If you do not, God's wrath will fall on you. Matter of fact, it already abides on you. Already abides on you. And eternally will end up in the lake of fire. If you will run to safety, you can be saved. But only if you run to safety. By the way, when do people run to safety? When do they run? They run when they know they're in danger, correct? Am I right or wrong? I was talking with Brother Todd Harless this week, and he shared this illustration with me, and I'd heard it before, but this is so applicable here. Let's say that we're all flying on a plane. Say that this right here is an airplane. Okay, I'm trying to show you that you will not run unless you realize you're in danger. See what I'm saying? And say that there's one parachute, all right? Let's just say that there's one parachute. And lo and behold, your number's called. And we bring the parachute to you. Say, put this on. You know what a lot of people do? That's uncomfortable. People's going to look at me if I do that. I don't think so. No. No, what will he think? No, what? I mean, that... What will she think if I do? I mean, this will look ridiculous.
But if I come to you and say this, there's one parachute. Nobody else can put this on, but you can. By the way, the plane's going down. You're going to have to jump in a minute. Would you put it on then? You'd put it on then. You wouldn't care who's looking at you. You wouldn't care what it feels like. You wouldn't care if it's uncomfortable or not. You'd put it on because you realize without it, you're dead. And in the same way, folks, there's so many people who do not come to Jesus Christ. So many people who keep putting it off and putting it off and putting it off. And the reason is they really don't know the danger they're in. That if they die in that condition, they will spend eternity in a flame of fire. I'm not happy to announce that. But I've got to be a Bible preacher and give you the truth in that. That's Bible. Bible.
When somebody sees the danger they're in, then they'll run to safety. The only means of eternal safety. You can apply that to anything in life. What if somebody told you to go down and get in your bathtub and curl up in a ball? That's crazy. And say, wait a minute, there's a tornado coming. And that's the only place of safety you got. And if you don't get down, like I said, it's going to take you away into oblivion. Do you realize the danger sinners are in? It ought to cause us to rejoice that Jesus Christ says, I know there's danger, but I'm enough. If you run to me, you'll be safe. You'll be safe. Now, the cities of refuge were appointed by God. It's God's idea. And by the way, under that, we see God's knowledge because he had them provided before there was ever a need for them. We see his grace. He didn't have to step in, but he did. And he said, even though they deserve this, I'll give them a place of safety. Number two, they were sufficient. No matter who it was that committed the offense, no matter what their circumstance was, if they ran into the city, they were safe. In the same way, it doesn't matter what you've done in your life. If you run to Jesus Christ, he'll save you today. Number three, they were available. They were strategically placed in places to where no matter who it was or where they were located, there was a city for them. And the Lord Jesus Christ has been strategically placed around the world. Through the pages of Scripture, through the knowledge of His Son, through the knowledge of creation. And everybody can be saved if they come to the Lord. He's available. Aren't you glad He's available? What would you have done the day that you came to get saved? If you've been saved, what would you have done if He said, no, I out to lunch, not available? The gates are always open. They won't always for all eternity be open, but they're open right now. And number four, the cities of refuge were the only place of safety. If you wanted to have safety, you had to get to the city. And if you want to have safety from everlasting destruction, you must run to Christ today. The individual, by the way, had to make the choice to run. They could not take the city to the individual. The city was set, it was marked, it was clearly marked, the road was plain to it, clear to it. It was available. But every person had to make the decision, I'm in danger, I must run to it. What a picture, folks. Man, what a picture. Listen to this. This is just a side note. When you ran into that city, get this. As long as the high priest was alive, no condemnation could come. Now listen to this. Listen to this. The high priest, if he was living, guaranteed that the avenger could not avenge blood. May I remind you of some verses? Revelation 1:18. Jesus said, I am he that liveth and was dead,
And behold, I am alive forevermore.
The Bible says in Hebrews 7:25,
wherefore he, talking about God, is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto him, that come unto God by him, seeing he, Jesus, ever liveth
to make intercession for them.
Now we've come to Joshua chapter 20. This is just a book study. And I realize it seems like almost every Sunday morning it's salvation, salvation, salvation. Just stay with me, folks, because we're just traveling through books. That just happens to be the theme. What greater theme can you have anyway than salvation? But all I'm saying to you, I'm just preaching through the book. We've got to chapter 20, and it's the city of refuge. It's the cities of refuge that point to Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you, those cities that point to him, what a picture we have that there's safety in the place of Jesus Christ. If you run to him, he'll save you. He'll make you safe. And the avenger, the condemnation must stop at the gate because you're on the inside now. And the high priest will never die again. Amen. Cities of refuge. Cities of refuge. Cities of refuge. By the way, I give you this closing thought. The names of the city even say a lot about the cities of refuge. There was Kadesh, Shechem, Hebron, Bezer, Ramoth, and Golan. And you know every one of those picture what we have in Christ? Kadesh means righteousness and holiness. Listen to this. 1 Corinthians 1:30 and 2 Corinthians 5:21, he has made righteousness for us. Shechem means a shoulder, somebody to lean on. What a blessing. Isaiah 9:7, Luke 15:5. Hebron means fellowship. 1 John 1:7. Bezer means a fortress. Nahum 1:7. Ramoth means exaltation or height. He lifts you up. Ephesians 2:6. Golan means joy.
Do you see the providence of God in this, folks?
Romans 5:11, 1 Peter 1:8. In other words, if you come into these cities, every one of them pictured a different aspect of Christ: holiness, righteousness, shoulder, fellowship, a fortress, exaltation, joy. Do you want those things in your life? It's all found in one person, the city of refuge, the Lord Jesus Christ. If you know him, that's what you have. If you don't have him, he's available today. And will you come and run to him? By the way, either you've ran into him or you haven't. Either you're in him or you're not. Which one is it for you? I want you to bow your head with me, please, and close your eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Psalm 143, verse 9 says, I flee unto thee, talking about God, to hide me. Father, help me guide, lead, and direct this in a mighty way. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed, they're beginning to play through softly. There are two kinds of people under the sound of my voice today as we've come to Joshua chapter 20, just preaching through the series, and we've come to this point. And I choose to believe that God knows what he's doing. I wonder today, do you know without a shadow of a doubt that you have ran to the city of refuge? Do you know that you are in Christ? If you know that you're in Christ, that there's been a time when you admitted that you were a sinner, that you repented of your sin, you received Jesus Christ, you know you're going to heaven because you've been in the city of refuge now. And because he lives, you'll live forever. If you know that you're already in the city of refuge, please don't condemn yourself. Please be honest. If you know that you're in the city of refuge, would you raise your hand in the air with mine, please? Only if you know that, please. Thank you. You can put your hands down. Now, there were some of you today, you could not raise your hand. And I want to say something to you just in case that's you. I hope you're listening. There was a day in my life when I couldn't raise my hand. But I'm so glad that I got honest with God. And I'm so glad
that I've ran to the city of refuge. And he saved me. Not because I deserved it, but because he's gracious. If you're sitting there today and you say, Jody, you said there's two kinds of people, those who are in the city of refuge and those who are out. And I want to say to God, either you recognize that you're outside of the city, or you're just not sure. But you say, Jody, I couldn't raise my hand a minute ago saying I know that I'm in the city. I know that. I can't raise my hand to that. And I want to say thank you for being honest. Now I'm looking. And the only reason I'm asking this is so I know how to proceed with the invitation. If you're sitting there today and you say, Jody, either I know that I'm not in the city or I'm concerned that I'm not, I couldn't raise my hand. Would you be an honest person? I'm not going to come to your seat. I'm not going to call you out. I promise you that. I promise you that. If you say, Jody, that's me. I can't raise my hand saying I know I'm in. I can't do that. Would you be an honest person right now? Would you quickly, quietly, would you raise your hand in the air? You say, Jody, I'm just not sure. You say, I'm not sure that I'm in. Anybody at all, I'm looking. That's fine if there's not, folks. That's fine. It's not that we're upset that there's nobody here that doesn't know the Lord. But I choose to believe that by God allowing this to be in this series the way it is and the timing of it, could it be that the Lord is speaking to you? So let me ask you one more time. If you do not know that you're in Christ, would you be honest and would you raise your hand? Anybody at all like that? Anybody at all? Then let me ask you this. You say, Jody, I'm a Christian, but I know somebody on the outside. I know somebody on the outside. Would you be honest? Would you raise your hand? You know somebody on the outside of the city of refuge? I'm asking, do you know somebody that you think may be lost? That's what I'm asking. If you know somebody like that, would you raise your hand, please? That's a lot of you. If you got your hand raised to that, I want you to lower it, but I want you to look at me just a moment because I'm speaking of somebody else. So you shouldn't be uncomfortable to look at me for this. I'm not asking every one of you to come to this altar. I'm not doing that. God knows I don't want anybody to come to the altar that he doesn't want to come. But I'm going to tell you what we ought to do, we who are in the city of refuge. We ought to rejoice in the city of refuge. You ought to rejoice in it. And when you're on the inside, you ought to get as close as you can to where everybody else can hear you. And say, it's wonderful in here. Oh, don't be afraid anymore. You're worried about what it's like in here? It's wonderful in here. I've got peace and joy and satisfaction. Everything out there that's on the road trying to interrupt, that's something that's keeping you from the best thing that can ever happen in your life. You see what I'm saying? Just a moment, we're going to stand in just a moment. I'm going to invite you who feel led to come and pray for these folks. I want you to do that. By the way, there may be somebody here that says, Jody, this is me. I'm not sure I'm in. Then by these dear folks having the courage and stuff to step out and come and pray, it may give you the courage to step out and come and find the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Father, take it. Bless it in a mighty way in Jesus' name. As Brother Gary begins to sing, if God is leading you to come, would you come? If you're not sure that heaven's your home, would you come now? As these people are coming, as these people are coming to pray for their lost loved ones, would you leave your place right now? If you do not know the Lord or you're not sure about it, you're just not positive about it, why don't you come and let us take a Bible, men with men, ladies with ladies, and share with you how you can know the Lord as your Savior. As Brother Gary sings, would you come, please?
Jesus is tenderly calling thee home, calling today, calling today. Why from the sunshine of love wilt thou roam farther and farther away? Calling today. Is calling. is tenderly calling today.
They're playing through. Maybe you folks in the balcony say, Jody, that's a long way to come. Why don't you just come to the front of the balcony? Go to the front pew. Use that as an altar. Use your seat as an altar. And ask God to give you a fresh burden for souls. Realizing there's two people in this world. Those who are in and those who are out. And those who are in ought to do everything we can to get other people in. We ought to do it, no doubt about it. May the Lord help us with it. As Brother Gary sings, as he sings the second verse, God is dealing with you. Why don't you take time to do it? As he sings, would you come, please?
Jesus is calling the weary to rest, calling today, calling today. Bring him thy burden and thou shalt be blessed. He will not turn thee away. Calling today, calling today. Jesus is calling, is tenderly calling today.
Amen. Amen. What a beautiful picture, right? What a picture. No doubt about it. What I want to do is I want to close this service out. We've got Mrs. Searcy over here. She's praying. Some ladies are praying. Her husband's facing some surgery coming up. Have you know Mr. Searcy? Would you raise your hand? You know Mr. Searcy? He's a blessing, isn't he? I'd like to ask several ladies, if you wouldn't mind. My wife, maybe Miss Lashley, if you wouldn't mind, Mrs. Seaman. They're right over here to my left. Other ladies, as you feel led, if you want to do this. They're going to pray for just a moment, then I'm going to have Brother Gary come to the pulpit here, and he's going to finish us in prayer. Tonight, God willing, we'll be studying in the book of 1 Timothy again. Have y'all ever heard of a shipwreck? Would you raise your hand, a shipwreck? You know most shipwrecks happen on dry ground? Come find out about it tonight. Amen. 7 o'clock, I hope you'll be in your place. I'll be at this door back over here. Somebody needs to see me. You come see us, okay? God bless you.
Lord, we thank you that we have a refuge. And Lord, as lost folks, we have a place we can go for righteousness and for safety. And Lord, once we're in the city, there's still a refuge. And Lord, we think of Brother Searcy today. He'll be having surgery, I think, the 5th, to remove this kidney. And Lord, I just pray that you would spare his life, Lord. This is a serious surgery. And Lord, I thank you for the day you saved Brother Searcy there in his living room, and Miss Searcy. And God, he's one of your children, and I'm asking you to help your child, Lord, and bring him through this surgery safely and bring him back to health. Lord, we thank you for your goodness to us and your mercy and your grace. We thank you, Lord, that even though we're unlovely, you still love us. Lord, you've been a gracious Savior, and we thank you for it. Lord, help us to be busy sharing the gospel, trying to get other folks into the city of refuge. Continue to bless this day, we pray, in Jesus' name.